giving attention especially to the words in verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. That's Psalm 51. It's the 15th verse of the psalm. I want you to mark it especially for easy reference in your Bible. And perhaps if the Lord touches your heart with the words, you'll feel like coloring in the verse as well in your Bible, that it may be your prayer. We were talking about that earlier in the service. The words to find for prayer. The words to use before God. And these are words, as we showed last Lord's Day, which relate to ordinary conversation. And they have to do with witnessing, obviously. And they certainly have a place for the prayer meeting. Open thou my lips in prayer. And they have a place too when you think of the general worship of the congregation. When they stand to sing, you could say then, as you prepare to sing those words, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. What a thing that is. What a thrill it is for the Christian to have the Lord open up his mouth even as he sings and as he testifies and as he engages in ordinary everyday conversation about the things that normally don't matter. Lord, open thou my lips. This is the prayer, you see, of the Christian, and he does well to think about the words. And he certainly does well when he knows the words are there, and they're there to be used. They're there for the admonition of the believer. They're there for you. You talk about the psalmist saying, thy testimonies are my counselors. Well, so they are, and this word is counsel for you. Maybe you've said some foolish things this week. Maybe you've said some things that you wish you hadn't said. Well, you could say, from now on, Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. That'll be better. Oh, much better. We all want to pray about the verse. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thou hast already read our hearts. Let us know all that we want to see fulfilled, even in relation to this petition. Lord, teach us. When we think, Lord, of what this could do for prayer life, when we think of what this might mean in our witnessing and in our labors for thee, when we think of what it might mean for the singing of the congregation, when we think of everyday conversations, Lord, open thou my lips, that my mouth, may show forth thy praise. Lord, answer this prayer for me. Come, Lord, with delight and answer this prayer in a marvelous way for this whole congregation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a prayer the Lord can answer. And therefore, it is right that the child of God offers these words as his petition when he comes to the mercy seat. It is obvious from what is written here, the Lord can open up the mouth of the Christian. And it is clear from that when the Lord opens your mouth, he'll give you the right word to say. Oftentimes, we have made statements we have regretted. We've said the wrong thing. We've been too hasty by far. And the words haven't been edifying. What we could say then with much more reason, with much more feeling of heart, Lord, open thou my lips. And then it follows, my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Now I was saying last Lord's Day that other things follow. It's not just a question of the Lord opening up your lips, but I believe that this petition in verse 15 has to do with the whole person. Thus, in other ways, the Lord must begin a work in the heart, and we took some scripture passages last Lord's Day which related to the ears. And I made the point then, I think before the Lord puts words in your mouth, he'll have you listen a while. That makes sense. wisdom isn't going to come from you or from me. Wisdom can only come from Him. Open thy my lips. This is the thought here. So naturally, before I speak, even if I'm going to say right things and good things, I'll have to listen a while. And the Lord who opens the lips can certainly open the ears. Turn to Mark chapter 7. We didn't read these verses last Lord's Day, but I think at least briefly we should look at them now and have them impressed upon our hearts. Mark chapter 7. Now, the miracles of Christ, as they are recorded in the Bible, are not there in the Bible by coincidence. We're not to assume, oh, that was what Jesus did, so naturally it had to be written into the gospel. This is not the case. The Lord performed many miracles, which are not recorded in the Bible. And He said many things, and I expect He taught many parables as well, which are not entered into the Scripture record. But those things that are here are there by selection. Please understand that. The miracles that are recorded in the Bible are there by selection, by divine selection. The Lord chose to record certain details, certain miracles, certain sayings, certain sermons or parts of sermons, and certain parables. These the Lord chose for entry into the Scripture record. And this means that every miracle then is especially instructive for us. Here's a man, verse 32 of Mark 7, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. Oh, what a picture of the Christian. Isn't this the trouble of the Christian all the while? He is deaf. He has a problem of hearing the voice of God. And who is there here but doesn't say, I need the Lord to speak to me, and I wish that I could pick up His word more than I do? We're deaf. And then there's an impediment in the speech. You haven't talked much about the Lord this week. Or maybe you failed to confess Him before the worldly crowd. There are some here who have never confessed the Lord yet. They've never confessed the Savior as they ought to have confessed Him. You have an impediment in your speech. Not of the physical kind, which is in view here, but spiritually, the impediment is there in your speech. And when you come to pray, why, if I called your name on a Monday night, or if I stopped in the preaching this very second and called your name, would you rise, please, and pray? There would be certainly a proportion of this congregation where there would be embarrassment, and the Christian would say, this is terrible. Why did the minister think of doing such a thing? I could not pray in front of this crowd. An impediment in the speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him, and he took him aside. Well, if the Lord is going to deal with you, He has to take you aside. That is often the way the Lord works. Oh, the Lord works in the congregation, in the regular ministry. Otherwise, we preachers would be at a loss to account for ourselves. So I do believe, yes, the Lord uses the public ministry of His word, but there are special favors which God bestows on the believer, and in order to deal with you, He must take you aside. Has there been a deafness, a hardness of hearing? Has it been a problem with you to take in what God is saying in His word? And is there an impediment in your speech when it comes to mentioning Him? Well, the Lord will have to take you aside that He may talk to you. And in this case, He put His fingers into His ears. Ah, that's where the problem is in this man. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed. Study the sighs of Christ. And the Lord sighed, no doubt out of sympathy with this man. And He saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. There are people who, after they have spoken about 15 minutes, you're not really sure what they've been saying. For what they've been saying is a bit difficult to understand. And you would say, I wish that person would speak plainly. I hope you never have to say that about me. But certain it is, when the Lord puts His finger in your ear, when He takes you aside from the world, you who have a hardness of hearing, who find a difficulty in speech, speaking for Him, you're shy, or it may be you're fearful, or you've already made up your mind, this soul is so hard, I'd be wasting my time talking to this sinner. And so you would if you were talking to him. But if the Lord opens your lips, and if He opens your heart and your ear, and He takes you aside before you begin that work, I believe God will use and bless your words. Oh, my prayer is, Lord, take me aside. Take me aside from the world. I have a difficulty in hearing. I have an impediment in speech when it comes to talking for God. Lord, have mercy on my soul. Oh, this is a thought, isn't it? The Lord took him aside, and immediately when he touched his ear, touched his tongue, the man's problem was lifted, and he could hear, and now he's speaking. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to do that for us. And people said, verse 37, beyond measure astonished they were. People said, He hath done all things well. Praise His name. And Wesley wrote the words related to this. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. We would look for such a thing in revival. Oh, it is true. If the Lord will open up your mouth, He must open your ears also. And what about the eyes? Can we leave out the eyes? I turned to Psalm 119. We read the words twice over, in effect. Psalm 119 in the third section, Gimel, in the verse 18. What about the eyes? Do you think the Lord will open your lips without opening your eyes? I believe we've got to think of the whole man in this opening process, so that if the Lord opens your lips, we will say, well, beforehand, the Lord has done a marvelous work. He'll take that man aside from his normal duties, and He'll take him aside from the ways of the world. The Lord will have to separate you from your friends. And for some of you, the Lord will have to separate you from ungodly friends. He'll need to take you aside. This is what is required, oh, in the lives of ever so many here. My prayer is, Lord, take that man aside and put your finger in his ear and let him hear. Oh, it reminds me of a little incident. I think it was during the ministry of Whitfield. He was away out in the field, as he often was, preaching to thousands. And there was a man anxious to see this famous preacher and get a look at him. And naturally, in a field, one standing afar off from the preacher in a thickly packed multitude could not see much of the preacher. He climbed up into the tree. Well, he only wanted to see, he didn't want to hear. And he said, I'm not going to listen, I'll not be converted like these other people that are being converted in the revival. And he put his fingers into his ear, he only wanted to see the man. And he put his fingers in his ear when Whitfield started to preach, and the word didn't get through at all. He didn't hear a thing. Well, the Lord sent a fly, and that little fly landed on his nose and stayed there and crept round and round and round and round until he had to take a finger out to get rid of it. And when he did, a word of God got in. And that man, we're told, was really powerfully spoken to. His life was changed. Well, the Lord needs to open the ear before ever we can say one thing for Him. The eyes, too, are a problem. We read the Bible. Some of us fail in that matter. We're not reading God's Word as we should. But for those who do, you're reading the Bible and you're not discerning anything there. Well, this is a prayer for you. I'm helping you to pray. I'm showing you words that you might offer to God any day this week. Verse 18 of Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes. O, before the Lord opens your lips, that your mouth may show forth his praise. I believe the Lord has to deal not only with the ears, but also with the eyes, that your Bible reading needs to change. Some of you are reading the Bible the last thing at night. Some of you are opening the Bible and, dare I even say, reading the Bible. You're looking at the page. Your head is nodding through tiredness, and weariness has already taken over. God have mercy on you. You're not reading the Bible at all. You're only going through an activity, and there is no discernment of what the Scripture says. The Lord would need to open your eyes to the Bible, and certainly you need to read the Bible at a different time, not when you're half asleep. Give your waking hours to the Lord. Don't wait until you're weary. Don't wait until exhaustion takes over and then respond to the Lord with His holy word. That's nearly like an insult. It's like an insult to the Lord. You're not giving Him due attention. You're not giving Him your whole heart. You're not giving the Lord half a chance if we just take it on the human level. You're not giving the Lord half a chance, and you're not giving the Bible half a chance. You're half asleep. That's the problem. And you're not absorbing what the Scripture says. You might then pray, reading the Bible at a better and more opportune time. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. There is a need for you to pray this prayer as the psalmist prays for himself. Remember that the psalmist, who had experiences with God, the Holy Spirit moving powerfully on the man, and yet he is saying, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things, things about Jesus, things about the Savior. Let me see those wonderful things out of thy law. Your Bible will be a new book if you can pray that prayer. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Here again, there is a prayer, the prayer of the apostle. Ephesians chapter 1. You have Acts, Romans, Corinthians, 1st and 2nd, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Find Ephesians 1 in your Bible. You might memorize the order of the books of the Bible so you can find your way about God's book more easily. But there we have tried to assist you in any case. It's Ephesians 1, verse 17. This is part of Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. And may I say, the church at Ephesus represents the best of saints, the best of people, God's people, in New Testament times. And this is the prayer of the apostle for the best of believers, the very cream of God's people. This is the prayer, Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Oh, we don't see these things. Our eyes are not as open as they should be. We do not discern spiritual things clearly enough. And if Paul had to say, for the best of believers in Bible days, Lord, give to them this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The knowledge of whom? Jesus Christ. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I would suggest that this word spirit is given a capital S. For this is not the human spirit. The human spirit is not a spirit of wisdom. The human spirit is not a spirit of revelation, and especially in the knowledge of Him. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal Christ to you in the Scriptures. And don't you need wisdom that the Lord may give you? Don't you need a revelation of Christ as you study those verses of the Bible about Him? When we use the word revelation here, we're not talking about some mystical experience outside the Bible, as if the Lord would work in your life apart from what He has written in the book. But no, the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Him is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's work is best determined by means of the Scriptures. So He gives to us, as we study the Scriptures, the Spirit of wisdom, the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of our understanding then will be enlightened, and we will know. We will know what is the hope of His calling, and we will know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Take a familiar portion, Luke 24, and I want you to see this. This is important. Luke 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We can find the four Gospels easily enough. Turn to the 24th, the last chapter, that is, of the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. Well, their eyes weren't opened naturally. The Lord opened their eyes. He was pleased to do that. Their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? And then again, verse 45. Then opened He their understanding. You see, the opening process occurs three times in this selection from Luke 24. The three times are there. The people concerned are the apostles themselves. First of all, verse 31, He opened their eyes to see the Lord, to identify Him in their lives, to know He was there. To know He was present. To know He had been among His people. I need my eyes opened, my friend. I need my eyes opened to see the Lord's hand in my life. And I want to see His hand in my life more and more. So their eyes were opened and they knew Him. And they knew for a fact He's been here. They could see that the Lord was with them. That's a powerful thing. Then comes verse 32. And I discover in verse 32 the opening of the Bible, the opening of the Scriptures. How does the Lord open the Bible up to the Christian? I tell you, this is significant. When you look at verse 27, you'll see what it means for the Lord to open up the Scriptures to the believer, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. He expounded to them in the five books of Moses, in all the books of the prophets, and He went through the Psalms as well, for He dealt with all the Scriptures, all the writings, all the sacred writings. He was dealing with the things concerning Himself. In other words, He gave explanations of the kind that I gave earlier when I talked about Psalm 119 in the third section, and I said, now there's a picture of Christ, the great burden bearer. And He gave to the apostles the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him when they had the book opened. And He began to show them there in chapter after chapter, book after book. Their eyes were opened. He just opened up the book. That was a marvelous time. Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things from out of thy law. And then in verse 45, what does it say? There is the third operation of opening. He opened their eyes that they might recognize the Lord had been among them. He opened up the Scriptures, making the Word to live and their heart to burn. Their heart began to burn when he opened up the book to them. Most believers, I feel, have never got this far. But you could get this far. Verse 45, then opened he their understanding. And don't you think when he did, when he opened up their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, the Bible became a new book, a living book, a meaningful book, a book they wanted to talk about every day? Did you get something from God's book today? Did you even get something special from God's book this very week? He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and the Bible became a new book. Their understanding of the world, their understanding of God even changed. Their understanding of themselves and the state of the ungodly in the world. He opened their understanding of these things. Oh, men and women, such an experience has to be the beginning of revival to the church. We need today the eyes of our understanding opened. We need to understand the Lord. Understand more about God. To understand the world. And the state of sinners who are in it. And we need to understand our own personal need. Take the book of Acts chapter 16. And verse 14. There is Lydia, who's mentioned there. And the Scripture says of her whose heart the Lord opened. So the Lord, He's not going to only open your lips that your mouth might speak forth His praise. It stands to reason. There is a further work to be done. The Lord must deal with the ear. He has to deal with the eye. And He must deal with the heart. Your heart needs to be dealt with. The Lord has to open up the heart. You see, if the heart is shut up against God and against the Bible, the Lord has to deal with that heart. We haven't time now. But there was the door of opportunity. Paul said, the Lord opened up to him a great door and effectual to witness for Christ, but there were many adversaries. He said in 2 Corinthians 2 and 12, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. The door is the door of opportunity. And there is no likelihood of the Lord opening up your lips for a work of witness, if there's no door of opportunity. So one thing follows on the other, and it is a fact, as far as the Christian is concerned, that these works are all together, they're all in the bundle, and the Lord will relate to the whole man, opening up his lips, and his ears, and his eyes, and his heart, opening up the book, opening up his understanding. Then opening for him a door of opportunity. Let me just close with the words of the psalm, open thou my lips. The opposite is also true. You would need to say, Lord, close my lips. Close my lips if what I am about to say is hurtful or untruthful. Or even unhelpful. Don't let the devil open my mouth. You remember the time Peter spoke, and the Lord said to him, that's enough. Don't let the devil open these lips. You could pray the opposite to the prayer that's in the Bible. Lord, don't let the devil open up my mouth. For then you're bound to say the wrong thing. And how dreadful it would be if instead of you praying, Lord, open thou my lips, the devil came in instead. When David spoke to Bathsheba in the way of expediting his sin, and no doubt he spoke to her in heartwarming and winning ways, but the things he said were not from God. The Lord didn't open up his lips. I believe the devil opened his mouth to win that woman's heart. He has learned since, in conviction and in mourning of soul over that sin, he has learned to say, Lord, open thou my lips. And then
my words will be far different to what they were before. Maybe you've come off with things this week which are not right. Not for a Christian at all. Not for a Christian at all. You should be ashamed of the things you said. Well, the Lord didn't open up your mouth at that point. And you and I, all of us together, have reason before God now to say, Lord, open thou my lips, that my mouth may show forth thy praise. Will the Lord hear that prayer from friends in this congregation? Will he hear it from the whole congregation present now? What if the Lord answers that prayer? By the time, in God's will, when I return to this pulpit, and there will be evidence of God having heard that cry and answered that prayer, Lord, open thou our lips, that these mouths of ours may show forth thy praise. Oh, what a marvelous experience it will be. The congregation will be in the throes of revival. Lord, do it for us today.